Good evening. This weekend, a little over 2,000 years ago, what happened in Israel was the very pivot of eternity. It was foreseen and foretold by God, and the plan was made even before the foundation of the world. God had a plan before he even created mankind, before he created Adam and Eve. God had a plan how he would redeem them from sin and from themselves. And what happened 2,000 years ago cannot be exceeded or beat in any way. There's no event that is more important. The Passover, the Lamb of God was sacrificed so that God could pass over us, so that God could not look at our sin and guilt, but just pass over it as if we had never sinned. And as because his son was smitten in our stead. The perfect, holy, undefiled, the Son of God who was totally blameless and innocent, he was smitten as if he was guilty of the sins of the whole world. So this, we heard a lot today about the Passover, about the Lord's death, the crucifixion, and we heard about the resurrection as well. And that's really what I want to speak about tonight, is the resurrection. You know, the cross would have no value without the resurrection. By raising his son from the dead, God was saying to the world, I am satisfied. I am totally happy with what the Lord Jesus has done. His sacrifice has been accepted on our behalf. And God proved it by raising his son from the dead. So we're going to have quite a few readings, but I'm not going to apologize for reading. The Word of God really is more important than what I have got to say. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 24 for a first reading. Luke 24, it's all very familiar passages. Luke 24, starting at verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So it shouldn't have been a surprise for them. The Lord Jesus told them at least three times that he was going to be put to death, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. So here we see an empty tomb. We see that these people were seeking the living amongst the dead. The Lord Jesus was not there because he was risen. Now in John chapter 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. More assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So the Lord is telling here of the great importance and significance of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was great in the sense that God was satisfied with his work. God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. We see that in the scripture. Remember Lazarus? After 4 days, Lazarus was starting to stink. He was starting to go to corruption. The Lord Jesus was raised on the third day. God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. But the great significance of the resurrection, it's not for the Lord Jesus only. It's for us. If the grain of wheat falls into the ground, unless the grain of wheat dies and falls into the ground, it remains alone. Without the resurrection, there would have been no harvest. But because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, there will be a great harvest. Heaven will be filled with sinners saved by grace, filled with people like you and I that never deserved anything from God, that were sinners through and through. But yet, we will have a place in heaven by his side because the Lord Jesus not only died, but he rose again. There is a great harvest coming. And all of us who are saved, we haven't tasted that yet. We haven't tasted the great blessing of the resurrection. We know the resurrection. We know about the resurrection, and it's our hope. But we haven't tasted it yet. But we will. As certain as we are here sitting in our seats tonight, for those of you guys, and as sure as I'm standing here tonight, we will taste the great blessing of resurrection. Because the Lord Jesus went before as the first fruits. He's not only the firstborn of the dead, but he's also the first fruit from the dead. Because there is a great harvest that will follow. And that is all of us. And not just all of us, but also, I had other readings that will explain that too. Very, very familiar and very, very beloved readings. Like in 1 Thessalonians 4, that speaks of those who are asleep. Those who are asleep in Christ are those who are dead, that were believers. Our loved ones, many of us have loved ones. We have parents, we have grandparents, we have some of us children that died, and they died in Christ. They died being saved, being born again. We will see them again because the harvest is coming. So let's turn to Romans chapter 4. That passage was read this morning by Brother Dave. The end of the chapter. Verse 22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was written for his sake, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also to us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. That's the reason why he died. There is no other reason why the Lord Jesus had to die. It was because of our offenses, because of our sin. He had no sin of his own, but he had to die because of sin. And it was our sin. Because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the Lord Jesus died because of our sin. He was raised because or for our justification. And because of our justification that is obtained by faith, we have now peace with God. From enemies that we were, now we are at peace with God. It says that we were at one time afar off, but we were brought nigh by the blood of Christ. So from enemies, now we are friends. Now we are children. Now we are his beloved. Chapter 8 of Romans. Just came out of pneumonia, so my voice is a bit hoarse. Hopefully it's going to stand the test of time there this evening. Chapter 8 and verse 20. That's what I was talking about a bit earlier. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. See, our soul and spirit have been redeemed. Our bodies are still attached to earth, attached to sin, the sinful nature that we have, that we're carrying about, that's causing us so much trouble. I don't know about you, but it's causing me an awful lot of trouble. The sinful nature that we're fighting day by day. And sometimes we fight it so much that we become discouraged. And we think, what's the use? It's there. It's always there. We wake up at night and it's there. We wake up in the morning and it's there. We go to work for a few hours, and it's there again. It's harping continually because it hates God. It cannot fulfill the law of God. It cannot obey God. And the Bible says that not only that it cannot submit, it's impossible for it to submit. So don't try to submit your flesh to God. It's impossible. You have to fight it. You have to really, really fight it, day in and day out. But brothers and sisters, the good news is that before too long, maybe before we know it, this body of flesh will also be redeemed. The Lord is coming. And at the Lord's coming, That part of the resurrection that we haven't known yet and that we haven't tasted yet, we will taste. Our bodies will be renewed. Our bodies will be excuse me. Our bodies will be resurrected with a body as unto his body. We will be made perfectly into his image. No longer being able to sin. It will be impossible for us to sin at that time. That cat wants to come out. So this passage in Romans is one of the most encouraging passages to me. That we will not struggle forever. The day is coming when our struggles will be over, and it's all because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will be raised as the harvest that is coming after the first fruit. We will be raised and have a body like his body that cannot sin. Maybe we could turn to Hebrews chapter 2 just for a short passage. Just tells us a few things about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, what it actually did. There's Hebrews and there's Colossians. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So the Lord Jesus, through death, destroyed the power of the one who had power over death, that is to say, the devil. So how did he do that? Just by going to death? Oh, if he would have stayed in death, he wouldn't have done anything. He went into death to break the power of death, to break the chains of death, and to break the hold that death have on humans. He came out of death, victorious, triumphant. And that is how today the Lord Jesus had victory over the one who has power of death, that is to say the devil. He destroyed the devil's power over death. And we see that as well in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. And verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, that's the law, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, have it nailed it to the cross. So the law was against us because the law was condemning us. The law was judging us. And we were condemned at every corner because of the law, because of breaking the law. But the Lord Jesus nailed the law to the cross. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, that's the devil and all the demons, all the world of evil, the spirits of evil. And he made them a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding the festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And then chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What beautiful, beautiful passage. So the Lord Jesus destroyed the law, or as far as we're concerned, he took the law out of the way. He had triumph and victory over the devil and all his demons by dying by the cross and then by raising up from the dead. And because of that, it says that we will follow him. But in the meantime, we're not there yet. In the meantime, we have to set our affections on things above. In the meantime, we have to look on things above, where Christ is. And in due time, we will be risen with him, and we will actually be there. Where he is, we will be there. And that is a promise. So the Lord Jesus, he triumphed, he had victory, he had the power over death and over the devil and his angels, and he brought us hope. That is the greatest truth about the resurrection. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. It's the hope of every believer. Without the resurrection, my dear brother and sister, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we would be of all men the most miserable. What would be the good news if there would be no resurrection? That is our hope. We're not here forever. And if all there is to life is this world and the wickedness of this world and the bad news of this world, you know, you can't watch the news anymore. It's so depressing. This world is a sinking ship. But we will not sink with it. The Lord Jesus is coming again. And the Lord Jesus will raise us up to be with him. So the Lord Jesus defeated death once and for all. And like we will turn to Hebrews chapter, that verse was read today again, also Hebrews chapter 7 is a very powerful verse. And verse 16. Verse 15 for the context, and it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. The Lord Jesus has risen never to die again, and he's risen in power. And it's in the power of an endless life. You know, there was many resurrections before the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is said to be the first fruit of the resurrection and the firstborn of the resurrection. The firstborn usually means firstborn in rank, but I believe he was the firstborn of resurrection in the fact that he was the first as well. You say, well, how can you say that? There was Lazarus, and there was Jairus' daughter, and there was the widow of Nain's son that was raised. There was three resurrections in the time of the Lord Jesus. And there was resurrections in the Acts, and there was resurrections in the Old Testament. The dead man that fell on the bones of Elisha. And there was the Sarepta's widow's son also. So all these people were resurrected to die again. The Lord Jesus is the first one to be raised in the power of an endless life, never to die again. And we will be raised in the same manner because we will be raised in Him and through Him. Maybe we could go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I find that passage very encouraging. The older you get, I find the more encouraging that passage is. Because the older you get, the more people in your entourage has died. People that you loved. People that you cherished. People that were very important to you has passed away. A father, a mother, a brother, a sister. Maybe children. A wife or a husband has gone before. And as far as the Bible is concerned, if they were believers, they're just asleep. They're just asleep, waiting to be awakened. So we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and the believers here were discouraged. The believers here were in trials and in tribulations and in persecution, and many of their loved ones had died. And they were wondering, what about them? What's going to happen to them? But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We have hope, brothers and sisters. We have hope, which the Lord, the world knows nothing about. The world wants to believe in evolution. Evolution is a religion of death. Evolution has nothing to offer. Evolution is you die and you go 6 feet under and it's over. No hope there. There was no hope then and there's no hope today for people that are unbelievers. So we're not as others who have no hope. We have a hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's a dead believer. A dead believer is just sleeping in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, and I love that, the Lord is not sending an angel or an archangel. He's not sending a big, great prophet, and he's not sending a king, and he's not sending a priest. The Lord himself is coming. He who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He came himself to die, and he's coming himself to take us away from this earth. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. It's going to be a great reunion. A The great reunion. You know what that word means, reunion. People that we were united with, we will reunite with them again. Not only that we'll be reunited with the Lord, we will be reunited with every sleeping believer. Everyone that died in Christ. Everyone that is asleep in Jesus. It says that they will rise first. We will not go before them. And they will not go before us either. They will rise first. We will be changed, according to Romans. Or 1 Corinthians. I think I mixed up there. We will be changed. They will be risen. And we will be changed. And we will enter into resurrection. That's really what it means. Our bodies will be changed. And altogether, we will go up. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Man, how encouraging that once we leave this earth, we will always be with the Lord. He promised his disciples in John chapter 14 that where I would be, you might be also. We will follow him from then on, everywhere. We will always be with the Lord and comfort one another with these words. The hope of the believer is a comforting hope. A hope that we will see our loved ones again. We can't wait to see the Lord. We can't wait to be face to face with the Lord and to enjoy his presence. And to be rid of the flesh, that we can really enjoy him to the fullest. But we can't wait to be reunited with our loved ones that also were believers. What a tremendous day that will be to see our loved ones again. Just a couple more passages in Revelation chapter 1. The Lord Jesus is just telling John about himself, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet and as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." The Lord had the first word, and he will have the last word. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. He has power over hell and death. He has fixed the question of sin, and that's why he can have power over hell and death. And then in the first church, again he says that, verse 8, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So important. So important. And we'll close by reading 1 Corinthians 15. That's another passage that is absolutely beautiful and powerful. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So this body that we have now, it can never enter heaven. It can never enter into the kingdom of heaven the way it is. It's impossible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's what needs to happen. That will happen at the rapture. For those who are alive and remain, we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So to be able to be like the Lord Jesus, to have a body as unto his body, it has to be incorruptible, it has to be immortal. So those two things must happen. We have to put on incorruption and we have to put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell or Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. That was dealt with at the cross. And the strength of sin is the law that was nailed to the cross. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are victors because we are on the Lord's side. Because we are Christ's, we are victors. We are triumphant. Not because we're a little better than our neighbor or a little better than the next guy. No, no. It's all because of him. It's all because of his worth and his acceptability and his great power that we have victory. It says we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, now, how should it affect our lives? How should we be touched by this? Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A lot of stuff that we invest in. That we invest our money, that we invest our time, that we invest our efforts, will give zero dividends. It's wasted. But everything that is done for the work of the Lord, everything that is done for the furtherance of the gospel, everything that is done for the glory of the Lord Jesus, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, whether it's our efforts or whether it's our money, if it's done for the furtherance of the work of the Lord, the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the cause of God, it says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I know when I read a verse like that, it really challenges me. How much of my life is going to be wasted at the end? Because of focusing on the wrong things. Because maybe of wrong motives. It's not done out of love for Christ, but it's done for different reasons. We're not going to be here for long, brothers and sisters. We're getting at the end. Everything that will be done for the Lord Jesus will have eternal dividends. There will be rewards, we'll be blown away when we see the rewards that comes with the little thing that's been done for Him. See, we're saved by grace, not by works. We see that clearly in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But verse 10 says, "But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're not saved by works, but we're saved for works. That is the purpose for God to save us and to leave us here. He could have saved us and brought us to heaven right away. Because His purpose is for us to be in heaven with Him. But He left us here, and the purpose for leaving us here is that we have been saved unto good works. He wants us busy in the things of the Lord. Not playing spiritual, but being sincere and being honest, being real, trying to do the little things that will bring honor to His name. So the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is as much a must as the fact that it was a must that He had to go to the cross. The Lord Jesus had to be risen from the dead in order for the work of the cross to be valid, in order for us to be risen as the harvest, because He is only the first fruit. He is the firstborn. There's a great harvest following, and it's us, brothers and sisters. And if there's anyone here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again, I wanted to read the passage that speaks about the first resurrection. Blessed are they who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. The second death is really the second resurrection. People will be raised not to life. They'll be raised to the lake of fire. Just because they died in their sins, instead of dying in Christ. How can you be in Christ? Very easy. God made it very simple and very easy. But as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There's multiple verses, but the fact is, you need to be in Christ. You cannot afford to die in your sin. You cannot afford to die without the Lord Jesus. If you do, you will not take part in the first resurrection. You will take part in what is called the second death. The first death, which you will experience if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, you will experience the first death. And you will also experience the second death or the second resurrection, which is the resurrection of damnation, and end up in the lake of fire. So tonight, don't leave it to tomorrow. Don't push it. Don't procrastinate. I know that we're very good to do that, humans. Think of your soul. And think of the fact that you need the Lord Jesus more than anything else in life. Miss the Lord Jesus, and you're missing everything. And you will not miss the judgment of God. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that there is found in him and in his glorious resurrection. Because he rose again, we will be raised. We will be changed. And we will be like him. And we will be with him. Lord, we thank you for that blessed hope. Pray that you would help us to always have these truths before us, that we might realize that because of these truths, we ought to be busy in the things of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, to know that our labor will not be in vain if our efforts are invested in your things. So we thank you for your word and for your Son. Pray your blessing upon each one of us. And if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you and your Son as Savior, we pray that they might not go another day without the Savior. Save them, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.